morning and welcome to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on the final Sunday before the season of Lent, which begins this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. We are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nettinay, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
The Spirit of the Lord fills the whole world and we rejoice. The righteous are joyful and delight in the Lord. They are excited and shout for joy. As we enter worship, we praise you, O Lord. Amen. Teach us your way, O Lord, and we will walk in your truth. Give us undivided hearts that we may fear your name. We will praise you with all our hearts and glorify your name as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And since this is the second Sunday of the month, we have a mission moment, and I'd like to ask Martha McCatton to unmute herself and give us that mission moment.
Okay, good morning. As you probably remember, February was Nikolai Lomov's birthday, and it's been our tradition several years now, since Nikolai got sick, to make February a birthday gift for Nikolai. Nikolai passed this summer, and he left his wife, who is really, really in bad financial straits. She has a very limited income. Reverend Carol talked to her this week, and she said that things are hard. And she also felt really good that we as a church reached out to see how she was. She thanked Carol for calling her and so forth. So we've decided that this February, we will continue to remember Nikolai and give a collection to Loretta to help her with her life, her sorrow, and her financial struggles. Thank you.
And thank you, Martha, very much. And this is the time we have a few announcements. I'm going to be sending out letters this week to some of the folks who have expressed an interest in joining the membership of our church. And if you would like to become a member, please call or email the church office for information, and we will be able to tell you the way that's going to work at this time. We're also trying to replace the wooden Christmas mailbox, which has served us so well over the years, but it's really getting very sad and very old, and it weighs 3 tons. It's really very heavy to try to deal with. So if you would like to think about creating a new one with 25 slots or so for Christmas cards, we'd love to hear from you. Kathy Trowbridge is looking for help to turn our St. Patrick's Day dinner, which we have always had, into a takeout family feast of corned beef and cabbage and so forth. She wants to know if you can help even just for a few hours to do some peeling of vegetables or whatever. Please call the church office. And I believe she's included that in the weekly worship mailing as well as in the triad. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? Feel free to unmute yourself and shout them out. Walter.
Yes, now that I'm unmuted, first of all, on behalf of the South Attleboro Alliance Club and the drive that we participated in to collect money to give to the Interfaith Collaborative to help all of the kitchens and pantries in the greater Attleboro area. Speaking for the space that I was allowed to use in front of the church, not the church itself, but the
Christian Education Building.
Thank you.
Christian
Education Building. Being new, I don't know all of the names yet.
I know that.
thank you. So I just wanted to let you know in the six days that I was there asking for donations for the signs and other donations for those who felt they wanted to do that. I was able to collect on your behalf $700.
Wonderful.
From what I understand, yesterday they exhausted the supply of signs. They started out with either 2,500 or 3,000 signs. I'm not exactly sure, but it was of all the different locations. They just concentrated yesterday, and they were going to do it today. However, in two locations, one at the at Capron Park, and one in South Attleboro at the American Legion Post. So I'm very grateful to the Board of Trustees and Reverend Carroll for allowing me to go out there and do that. But I have a side story to tell, which I think to me, it touched me. And I was having a bad day. I'm full of arthritis, and cold and I just don't agree. It was the coldest day that I had been out there, and I dressed as warm as I possibly could. But internally, I was really battling myself as to why I was there and what I was doing and the effect that it was having on me. All of a sudden, I noticed that the sunshine had gone away and there were clouds moving in. I turned around and I looked at the clouds and I saw the most beautiful sunshine breaking through the individual clouds as they were going by, creating all different shades of colors. And I just stopped what I was doing, turned my back towards the roadway, and I just stood there in amazement of how beautiful it was. And all of a sudden, it changed my attitude completely. And the cold and everything else just didn't matter anymore. I was more interested in turning around and watching the sun bleed through the clouds in the different colors that it was making. So I wanted to share that with everyone because I truly believe that as long as you keep an open mind to hear when God speaks to us, you will hear him from time to time. It may not be in words. It may present itself in many different ways, but that's how I felt that day with what I was doing. And it changed my life again, just by experiencing it. So I wanted to share that as well as the celebration of how much money we were able to gather. But I thought that this was more important than the money. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter. That was actually much better than the sermon you're going to hear.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know about that either, but that's okay. But thank you for sharing that because you were in my celebrations as well coming up. Any other announcements that anyone would like to make? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you like to introduce your music, please?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. So our opening hymn was O Splendor of God's Glory Bright. And we have a hymn that we're going to sing in the middle here. It was actually a request from Carmen, and I'm glad she requested it, and I was able to do it this week. And our closing hymn is actually, we're very blessed to have Eric, who's in our choir, sing a song that actually is the title of Reverend Carroll's sermon. And Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And Eric has blessed us with his music, and he put it together himself. So we're looking forward to hearing that, Eric. Thank you for doing that. But our middle hymn is In the Garden, and it's number 314 if you do have a hymnal at home, 314. And there's three verses, and it's, again, it's in the chat section. If you go with your little arrow and find the chat section, you'll find the lyrics there. So let's sing the three verses of In the Garden.
To the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever.
Carmen, for requesting that. I was looking around and I saw more people singing that than any other hymn that we have ever sung. I think it is a favorite of so many people. It reminds me of one of the stories that I've always loved to hear about. There was a child at Sunday school, and the teacher asked, and you know, what's God's name? And he says, oh, I know what it is. It's Andy. And he said, really? Andy? He says, yeah, Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me I'm his own. Perfect. Perfect. So we turn to our celebrations this morning. And Walter, I was going to indeed have you in our celebrations for standing outside our CE building in all of that cold and snow to raise that kind of money is just wonderful. And I'm glad you had that experience of seeing the glory of God. Just a reminder that the COVID-19 vaccines are becoming more accessible, so don't hesitate to call your doctor, your pharmacy, Sturdy Hospital for information. And if you're not able to get online and check the sites that are offering them, the church also published that telephone number to call set aside for appointments for senior citizens if you cannot do it any other way. And finally, I'd like to say happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Are there any other celebrations you would like to share at this time? Then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, including these people. We pray for Loretta, for Chad, for Ed and Janet, for Brigida, for Bert, for Jennifer, for Carol, and Marie, for Lee, for Edie White, that's Steve White's mother, who's in hospice, for Jane and her family. We pray for Len at home in hospice, and obviously Nancy, who is taking good care of him. We pray for Bobovoy and Sister Marge, for Warna's aunt, Marianne, for AJ, who is the hockey player at Bishop Feehan, who is still undergoing medical treatment. And those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, Jackie Glass and Carolyn Farrell. And of course, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all of our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions, especially during this terrible time of not being able to get out very much. We pray for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me in a prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Most gracious God, for your choice of one people among the world's peoples for the revealing of yourself and of your will for human life, we praise you. Through Moses, you gave your people the law. Through your prophets, you charged them so to live by your law that their lives and ours might be a guiding light for everyone, for all the nations. In your own time, O God, you moved to reveal yourself firsthand, fully, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. On this last Sunday of Epiphany, we give you thanks for the cherished stories which surround his birth, particularly for the story of that star that guided the Magi to his side from far away. They became the first witnesses of your Epiphany, revealing yourself to us in Jesus Christ. On this Transfiguration Sunday, we praise you for expanding your circle of witnesses to include Peter, James, and John, and through them to include us. In Jesus, along with Christians all over the world, we find in him the light of the world for creating out of this sacrificial death and resurrection a new people, a worldwide community of his disciples, his ecumenical church. We pray for the church, for that strange, richly diverse company of women and men who have fought in your divine Son a fresh start for human history and an unquenchable source of light. Help us, O God, to let his light shine from us that we may be sources of light for others who stumble about in ignorance, anxiety, self-destructive passion, hatred, or any other form of darkness. Grant that we may serve as messengers of your grace for loved ones and friends whose lives have been darkened by illness or who are at this very time walking through the valley of the shadow of death. In that light, we bring before you the names of all of those whom we have mentioned. And in the silence to follow, may we lift up the names of others into your presence. Hear our prayers, gracious God, for we pray in the name of him who walked in your light and whose light we would walk with the help of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way.
Scripture lesson today comes from the Hebrew scriptures. It tells the story of the great prophet Elijah and his faithful disciple Elisha. It comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Please hear these words. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, Yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, you have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. We have heard a lot of rhetoric over a lot of months now, coalescing in the events of January 6th in our nation's Capitol building. And that rhetoric has suggested that we are in a battle for the soul of our nation. And I'm not going to go into that right now because I feel pretty helpless in aiding in that fight. However, closer to home, I would suggest that we are also in a battle for the soul of the church. I'm not just talking about the very obvious numbers in our United Church of Christ. I'm not talking about the shrinking of Central Congregational Church. I'm talking about the whole church of Jesus Christ. Wherever you turn, the church is changing and evolving towards something new, though it is not yet clear what the new form is going to look like. Our forms of worship are being challenged by repeated experiments to appeal to new generations. Denominational loyalties are all but falling apart, and many churches are trying to distance themselves from their own denomination. Many churches have even removed the denominational identity from their name, and they speak of themselves as a community church, which, by the way, is an actual denomination anyway. At the time of the Reformation, there was an attempt to define what made for a true church. Martin Luther. Their basic definition was that a true church was where the word of God is truly preached and the sacraments are rightly administered. The battles were over a doctrinal understanding of the faith. Today, the battles within the churches are largely over ethics and cultural things rather than theological doctrine. We are greatly disturbed about issues now surrounding racism, abortion, divorce, or sexual orientation. But we don't worry so much anymore about predestination, atonement, the definition of filioque, or the meaning of sanctification. Consumerism has so infected us that the first question for many church programs is what is going to please the people rather than what will please God. We're moving through a time of change. And as it says in 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed, and that is still true. The question for Christians is how to remain faithful when it's hard to tell what it means to be faithful. And so in the lectionary reading for today, we turn to another Old Testament prophet, Elijah. He lived around 900 BC, about 200 years before the great prophet Isaiah. Elijah is only one of two people in the Hebrew scriptures that we are told did not die. The first is described in Genesis, and his name was Enoch. And Genesis says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Elijah didn't die, but was taken up to God in a chariot of fire, we're told. In that story, the one we just heard Wayne read, is the basis of that old spiritual that we're going to hear Eric sing, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. It means that the faithful person will wait to be taken to heaven, just as Elijah was taken to heaven. And because he did not die, the tradition developed by the Hebrews was that Elijah would return someday to prepare the way for the Messiah. In the New Testament, it is suggested that John the Baptist was Elijah returned to prepare the way for the Messiah. John even dressed in garments reflective of how Elijah was described in the Hebrew scriptures. And this is Transfiguration Sunday. After Jesus had taught his disciples many things and healed people and did other miracles, we're told in the Gospels that he brought those disciples to a high mountain where Jesus was seen with Moses and Elijah, arguably the two greatest prophets in Hebrew scriptures. And in the company of Moses and Elijah, Jesus was transfigured. And what that means in English is simply to be transformed into something more beautiful and more elevated. This probably was further proof to those disciples that Jesus was indeed the Messiah they had been awaiting. John the Baptist had declared it, and now Moses and Elijah confirm it. And so we enter the season of Lent this coming Wednesday, and we understand at this time of the year that Jesus is setting his face to Jerusalem and a confrontation with the powers that be in those days. So Elijah is a transitional figure and shows us how we are supposed to act in times of great change. Elijah prepares the way for us when things have grown chaotic in his life, in the kingdom, in his culture. In our scripture lesson, Elijah and Elisha, his presumed successor, know that things are about to change. What will happen is unclear to them, but that something significant will happen is quite plain. In preparation for whatever is going to happen, the two prophets go on a journey, looking for the place where Elijah would be taken up. Surely it would be a holy spot. Like the church, when we experience great changes taking place, Elijah and Elisha tried to revisit the great touchstones of their faith. They wanted to get back to the fundamentals. So they go to Bethel, where Jacob, you remember probably, or at least I hope you do, had his dream of a ladder reaching into the heavens and the angels coming and going with God at the top of the ladder. And so they went there, but nothing happened. And so next, Elijah and Elisha travel to Jericho, the place where the walls came tumbling down at the sound of the trumpet. And this was the great turning point in the battle that enabled Israel to enter the promised land. But again, nothing happened there. So they travel on to the Jordan River, that greatest of all rivers in Israel's existence. And when they arrived, we're told Elijah struck the water and it parted just like Moses parted the waters of the Red Sea before Elijah's time. Nothing happened there. As a church, we often seek places where we can experience clear signs of God's presence, signs of great spiritual awakening on the part of the members. I think that Walter had one of those moments standing out in front of our Christian education building as he describes it. I was privileged to go to the Holy Land twice, and I was in awe of seeing all of the places where Jesus visited and walked. I watched people take a jar of water home from the River Jordan. I said, "Why are you even doing that?" And they said, "Well, I want to add it to the baptismal water for my grandchildren." Well, it's a nice thought, but in the end, water is water. I went to Bethlehem and I had my fanciful ideas flummoxed when the very first sight of Bethlehem was a sign saying, "Bethlehem Video Store." Ugh, so much for the romanticism of Bethlehem. So even when we have traveled to a spot sacred to us as Christians, like Elijah's protege, Elisha, we still face an uncertain future. And Elijah asks Elisha, "Tell me what I can do before I am taken away from you." And Elisha says, "Let me inherit a double measure of your spirit. Let me have a faith that can endure all the challenges of the future. Let me grasp the truth in a way that cannot be challenged." And Elijah responded, "If you see me as I am being taken from you, then it will be granted to you. But if not, it will not." When Elijah had walked with Elisha a little further, suddenly there was this chariot of fire that separated them. And Elijah ascended into heaven in a whirlwind. If anyone else had been standing there, they might have seen a great whirlwind Elijah up, but only Elisha saw the chariot of fire behind the whirlwind. Only Elisha could see the power of God made visible in the chariot working behind the scenes to transport Elijah to heaven. When we look at the church, any church, what do we see? Many people see a building, people, an organization. All these things are visible and measurable. How big is the building? How many people attend worship? How many joined last year? What types of programs do we or they offer? But if we look through the obvious and the visible, can we see the invisible and the incredible presence of God? I recognize that there are lots of storms swirling around the church as we move forward into God's future. From the outside, it may appear that the church is caught in a whirlwind that may destroy it. When Elisha saw the real presence of God behind all that was visible, he knew that whatever the future held, God held the future in God's own hand. Christ is the head of the body we call the church as Christians, and Christ is not going to lose that with which he has been entrusted. As Jesus promised Peter, Christ will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Behind the visible organization that will inevitably change, as it has in a variety of ways in the last 2,000 years, there is still that invisible presence. For those who see it, they will not be afraid of any change, knowing that God is always there in our midst. May we be aware of that as well. Amen.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me.
Now receive the benediction. Let your light so shine before all that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you all for being here, and feel free to stay around for as long as you like to have some conversation.